Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I was thinking about in Sunday school lesson this morning, I was thinking about normal practice that I have with things like that. I like to think when I read a scripture or we're in a lesson or something like that, I like to ask myself the question, what does it mean to me? Rather than just going through it and hear it, I like to actually ask myself how it applies to me, what I can get out of it. And Sunday school was very valuable to me that way today. I really appreciated it. But I think that's what I want to say to us before I start today is that the Word of God is to be applied, and it's beneficial to us. And there's almost always something in there if you ask yourself, how does it apply to me? What can I get out of it? How am I made better? How can this that I heard make me better or make me closer to the Lord or whatever? So I'd like to start with a couple of verses in Matthew. I was listening to a song, been having Christmas music around, and I was listening to a song, We Three Kings, and it made me to start thinking and considering that story. And so I started reading the story, and of course I want to ask myself, well, how does this story apply, or what can I get out of this story? And I do want to say this about the story and all the stories is that I've got a fundamental belief that stays always in my mind. And the belief is that God may hide himself, he may hide his word, and he may hide his doings from hypocrites and frauds and gainsayers, but God will reveal himself to an honest heart. And I really believe that God will not leave an honest soul, someone that really wants God. I believe God will make a way for that person. Even if the obstacles are incredible, if the society or the culture they live in is adverse or whatever it is, I really believe God will find a way for an honest soul, someone that wants the Lord in their life, someone that's seeking after good things. I believe that God will meet that person in some way or another. Well, this scripture, I want to read some of this. It's in Matthew 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there come wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Okay, well, that brings some questions to my mind. There's what's called the Magi, the three wise men that's always depicted. First, one of the things I want to say to us right now, that a lot of the things that are depicted aren't accurate that we see at Christmas time. I just want to tell you. That just so we'll have an understanding of what it is. First of all, Jesus almost definitely was not born the 25th of December. Now, that's not overly important, but he almost definitely was born sometime in September to early October. And there's two different ways that you can figure that and be fairly accurate that he was born in that time. One was the fact that Jesus, we know that he was crucified at 33 and a half years old. And if that's anywhere in the diameters of what we would call a half a year, then we can pretty well project the time of his death, which we knew it was the Passover time, and we can project pretty much that he was born somewhere in the September time. And the other is that Mary, when she went with Elizabeth, Jesus was conceived already, and he leapt in the womb, and John hadn't been born yet. And so we know about the conception time of John because his We know that his dad was a part of the temple work, and we knew that lineage he came from, so we knew the section of time that he was in that. And right after he got through with these labors in the temple, then he come and John was conceived. So we know about the time that he was conceived, so we can actually calculate when Jesus was born, and it was not December 25th, probably. So that, I'm just giving you some information here and something to consider. And the other thing to consider is when you see the manger scene, and the baby in the cradle, that the wise men was not there. This plainly saying that the wise men was not there. But who was the wise men? Well, it's speculated that the wise men were descendants of Abraham. Somewhere in the east, they were descendants, and the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of the Scriptures, the knowledge of what God had done had been with him. The understanding that God was going to send a Messiah, going to send Christ into the world was in their prophecies. They understood that, even though they were all these long ways and generations down, they had the understanding that there was going to come a time that that God was going to fulfill the promise of the Messiah. Numbers 24 and 17, there shall come a star out of Jacob. That was one of the prophecies that was looked at, that there was going to be a special event or something that was going to state the fact that the time had come. Okay? And so, this was the time. And the wise men, which were interpreted astrologers, they were stargazers, they had understandings obvious that way beyond what I can understand anything. But there come a time that they looked and saw the star. They saw something. Speculation is the word could be from star to comet to what we don't know exactly what it was, but there was something that was different in the heavens, and it changed, and there was something that dictated to men of understanding that Christ had been born. What some of the thinking that I have is that there's no illustrations in here, there's no ideas in here that many people saw it other than these wise men. I say wise men. There's analogies here that I think we ought to glean from. I think wise men will always seek Christ. The definition of wise to God would be seekers of God. The most wise thing that you can do is seek out Christ. In all your life, of whatever you can do to make your life better or to get along in life or whatever you can do, the greatest thing that you can do and the most wise thing that you ever do is pursue Christ. These wise men, this is an astounding story to me because I think God does things for a reason. I don't always understand the reason. I seek to know the reason. And I want to apply the reason to my own life. I want to be able to ask myself, how does this apply to me and how am I made better? What can I get from this? There's the story of wise men. Why did God do something like this that seems like such a small story of the whole thing, and yet it's obviously important because it's put in the canon. It's here. So these wise men saw something. It doesn't go into detail, it leaves for speculation. But they saw the star and they recognized that this was the King of the Jews. This was the prophecy. The time had come. They had looked for it for generations and generations, and now the star appears. The scripture is fulfilled. Here is his star. Here is denotes the fact that the Son of God, the King of the Jews, he is born. And what compelled them? This couldn't have been easy. I mean, you know what? We had planned to go to the Guthrie meeting. It's going to be from Wednesday after Christmas through the New Year's, and we'd planned to go. And there's something inside of me that's struggling. It's called the flesh. About driving in my nice, comfortable van with the heater that I can set at any temperature I want. My wife can set what she wants. And to drive out there, it's going to be such agony for me to put myself in, to drive all the way out there. Can you imagine what it was like to travel in those days from the Orient? Or that they claim the Orient, it's from the East. And these three wise men see this, and they start, something is important enough What? Something's important enough to make them go. They had to have spent their money, their welfare. They had to have got food. They had to have went the way. They took the time out of their life for something. This is monumental. It will never happen again. This is my time. The Lord, God, had to inspire them. I mean, God had to have spoke to them. This is your part of the story. Take the gifts and go. And they were inspired to go. Wise men. I wonder if the analogy is the thing that the Lord wants to try to say to us. Not everybody sees the star. Did you all look up at the sky when you come here today? I've been thinking about this, so I have a little bit of advantage on you to say that I did look up into the stars last night. But how many even look up? How many even see the obvious? I mean, see that, but this was there. Did only the wise men have eyes to see it? Was they the only one that had the prophecies? I would say they had less prophecies than what a lot of people had. And yet, these obscured men, off in the corner somewhere, with the amount of prophecy they had, with their watching for, they saw something that other men didn't see. Why did King Herod, who was King Herod? He wasn't king of the Romans. He was king of the Jews. He should have known what the prophecies said. He had to ask others, we'll read the story, he had to ask others where Jesus would be born at, and they told him he'd be born in Bethlehem, because the scripture says that he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Well, Herod, why didn't you know? Because he didn't care enough to look. Do you know the greatest things, the greatest miracles, many times are not seen by the common eye? It's seen by the heart. It's seen by people of understanding. It's seen people that's looking for it. God is a master at hiding miracles from gainsayers and hypocrites and people that don't want to see it, and revealing it to the ones that have the heart to see it. Here was people that had a heart, and God shone the star. And as far as it says, when they got there and said that we seen his star, Herod hadn't even seen the star. You mean none of his council had come in and said, King Herod, we're going to have something to deal with here. There's a star out here. There's something abnormal. Where's everybody at? What are you seeing? But God did it for a reason. Did God do this only for to make a statement that Christ had been born? Maybe. Was that all that it was supposed to mean? I don't know. But it seems to me like there's more to it, because it speaks to my heart something. It seems like the star still shines. That I feel like that the star, in a metaphor, I think this was to be a symbol of something that Jesus had come to do. And he says, when I come, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn to me. If I will make myself accessible to those that will see. If you want the Lord, if you want good things in your life, if you want the favor of God in your life, you may not have it, but you'll have the direction. God will shine something. There'll be a way. You can follow that. They followed this for a long time. You want to know how long they followed it? You can pretty well. I don't know how long they actually was on the journey, but they saw it was about 2 years. It's plainly there that it was about 2 years that they had gone. And you can read the story about this. And when they said to Herod, looking for this, where is he at? We followed his star, and here's where the star ends. Where is this one? And of course they go to Herod, and Herod's got diabolical purposes involved in it. But the wise men had come with true hearts. It seemed like they got so little out of their journey. I mean, they went all that way. Herod inquires on them, what time did you see this star? When did it first appear? Well, that's how he got the idea of killing all the sons from 2 years down. Because they had saw the star that much, and so it gave him a time period to work with. We knew that Jesus was born here now, and that's why he used this thing, and they seemed like they got so little. What did they get out of that? They come all of that way, and they walk in, and basically what they see is not a baby in a manger. That had happened sometime before. They saw a child, and it states that they walk in, and the child with his mother. And here's the child. And they done what they came to do. They knelt down. This is only going to happen one time. And these men were called. Seems like so little, don't it? They come all that way and gave all that time to come in for just a moment and present their gifts and bow down and worship him. And then they went out and left. Instead of going back to Herod and telling him about it, they left. Because God had warned them about it and said no. And this is the story that God wanted us to hear and understand and ask the question, how does that benefit me? I'll tell you how it benefits me. If I have the honest heart, if I really truly have an honest heart, God's going to make a way for me. When it's the darkest night and brazen skies, the song says, when it don't look like there's a hope at all for me to be able to get through this, there's a light that always shines. There is a place that God will always going to be able to give you and I that we can know, where do I need to go? Right here is where you need to go. You want the Lord? Follow the star. If we follow this star, surely it was meant more than just a little bit of a story that would happen just for a little while there, or just to make an announcement. Well, it was worth it all. I mean, it was an announcement that was made. Maybe it was partly for the idea that through the ages that the prophecy was fulfilled, and these men, just like it was foretold, it gives it a lot of credence, the fact that it was foretold that this was going to happen, and these men testified to this, that it had happened. This actually happened. And so of all the Christ that was supposed to be there, I want you to know, there is a lot of Christ. Jesus was not the first one to come along to have the claim of Christ. If you look into the history of this, you'll find out that there was many false Christs before Jesus come. No doubt there was some after. But this one had something special with it. None of the other one had a star at their birth. None of the other ones had wise men come from that far to testify of the reality of it. It affects me. It makes a difference. Thank God for what he does for us and leaving and making always a way for the honest heart. Lord, help us to be honest. Where is he that is born, second verse, born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, these men made a great trip, done their part, and no doubt was blessed in their souls. They came a long ways, and yet they found him. God led them to find him. God made a certain promise to us over in Deuteronomy, 4th chapter. Oh, let's see. I want to read. Oh, maybe I'll go back a little bit. 25th verse, maybe. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained a long time in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make graven images, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there shall ye serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat or smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, the Lord laid out a pretty plain path of what people do. They stray. They go away. They get themselves in all kind of situations and problems. Some people start out, and I've seen a thing recently talking about this 15-year-old girl and had a medical problem, and they was trying to find out what her medical problem was, and she's having these problems, and they couldn't hardly believe once they done the test and stuff to find out that the girl was an addict. The girl was already an addict. She had already and said about it. She said, "Well, I guess it was foolish to let myself get into this situation, because the breaking of that is a terrible thing to have to go through. It's painful. It's hurtful. It's terrible to be yank him drugs out from under him, and then have to go through the pain and all of that of being recovered from that. And it's awful. And some people even die from it. And it's a horrible thing." And the girl makes the comment and said, "I guess it was pretty foolish. I guess it was pretty foolish for me to have started this to start with. But," she said, I thought it would be fun." How many people you think go down the wrong way because they think something's going to be fun, or it's going to be exciting, it's going to add something to my life, and not really realizing or even thinking what the consequences was or whatever it'll be? I'm going to live for the moment, and right now I'm bored, I'm depressed, I'm whatever, I'm going to do something. I got to have some relief of the life situation, and they get themselves into a situation. I want you to know today there's a star shining. There's still a star shining. God didn't give up on us. He's made a way. There's something still that will always be there for us to look to. And he said with this, after you go out and you worship these gods, and he even said what they was, they don't walk, they don't handle, they don't see, they don't smell, they don't touch, they don't taste, they don't do anything for you, and you're giving yourself to it because there's some kind of excitement or something to it, and you give your life that way, and when you get through, I want you to know something. If you'll seek me, it's always the same, folks. If you seek me with all your heart, if you want me, I've been born. This is the reason Jesus came into this world. He came into this world, and it would have not have made any sense if he had come into this world and hid himself from us. He only hid himself from those that wouldn't look up. He only hid himself from those that wouldn't see what was the obvious there. He only hid himself from those that didn't want it so bad that they made excuses for it, that turned away from it, that tried to fight against it. They even tried to kill him when he was young so he couldn't. Herod tried to dispense of the one that gives us all the hope. The only hope Herod had was the one he tried to kill, because he couldn't see it enough, but the light was shining the whole time. You answer this to me. What sense? It doesn't have to make sense, folks. Humans don't always make sense. But I'm going to ask this anyway. You think of this. Three wise men come in to Herod's presence. And this is their testimony. We've seen the star that's been prophesied of the King of the Jews. The Messiah has come. And Herod is still thinking about his own thing. His own life. Where was even the understanding? Herod, you really think you can fight against the one that hung the star? Really, do we think that we can fight against the one that hung the star there? Do we think we're going to get around the idea that this star shines? Well, it's still shining for the drug addicts. If they'll look up. The places that we get ourselves into this life, I think the meaning of what this was is that it was a direction. It was meant to be a direction. I don't know where to find Christ at. I don't know how to get to God. I don't know. I need a light shining in the darkness. I need a point. I remember I used to work in the coal mines, and we had these old wheat lights, if you all know what those are. Some of you older fellows, I know what a wheat light was, but they was the battery pack that they had on it, and had the cord and had the lamp on it, and they were a very good light for their day. I always liked to have one around because you could charge them up. It lasted about 12 hours generally, and they was, for their day and time, they was an extremely good light. And we'd have these wheat lights, and sometimes the shift would run longer than we were supposed to in the coal mines, and I've had my light go out while I was in the mines, and I have to come out with very little light to no light. And you don't hardly know what the sensation is of seeing that distant speck of light. You feeling your way through an old coal mine. Just know what direction you are, and you're feeling your way as you're crawling. I always have, well, our minds you couldn't walk in. You're always crawling. We're crawling down through there, and you're feeling belt structure to one side. You don't know when you're going to put your hand in a big puddle of grease, or you're going to go through some oil, or you don't know what you're into. You crawl into a muddy water hole or whatever. You're crawling on out of there. But I'm going to tell you, when that distant, you see that first speck of light out there, I'm going to tell you that sensation. That sensation of direction. I don't have to know. I can look. I can go. And the further you go to the light, the brighter it gets until you're illuminated. You can see your way and you're going towards that light. There's a star that the Lord's given the weary soul. There's something there that you can go to. And it's still, metaphorically, it's still there today. And you can go and you can find the needs of your life if you do it with all your heart. When you do it with all that's in you, it isn't for the indifferent or the passive. It's for the aggressive. I'm not talking about physically aggressive to beat people. I'm talking about aggressive towards my soul. I want to go towards these. What compelled three wise men to go all that way, not to gain, but to give? They give, but they gain something. They gained the faithfulness of what God told them to do in serving. One of the most important moments in human history, they was a part of it. They got to experience, this is he, this is him, this was the one born, King of the Jews. And I found him, not because I knew how to go or where he'd be or none of those things. I did because there was a light shining. And I went towards the light, and I'm going towards the light. And you know, we can have things in our life, personal deep things in our life created by our culture or our environment or our own attitudes or whatever it is. You know, we have deep things in our life, and there is a hope for that. But I can go to the light for those kind of things. There is another thing I want to tie in with this thought. Over in 2 Peter. The first chapter of 2 Peter. I'm not sure where I want to get this, and I'll just find a spot here. 15th verse, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, which we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellency of glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, what Peter is referring to in this passage of Scripture, is my understanding, the day star or the morning star is referring to, well, off the top of my head, I forget what planet it is, but it's known to be
Venus.
It's known to be the day star, the morning star that arises in the east. And so the idea is that the journeymen, the people that are on a way, wayfaring, they're going somewhere. They need direction. In the night, and you lose the direction. You have certain things that you can see in the stars or a certain direction, but someone that's wanting to be up and at it, it's time to move on. You want to make those first hours count. You want to go. You want to get there. You want to go. How do you go in this land? And all of a sudden, well, when the sun comes up, you can always know that's to the east. And it's always coming the same way. Before the sun comes up, this star will rise. And it's called the morning star, the day star. And it was the direction for people getting up and getting at it. It arises. And now I know where I'm at. I know where I need to go. I got a point of direction again to know where I go. When the night was dark and long and I don't know where to go and all theirs. But when this starts rising, I know where to go again. This is the idea of having a point of reference. Something that I can know what to go to. Thank the Lord that you and I have a point to always go to. Where do you go? Where do you go to when things get rough? I'm going to tell you where you ought to go. Where do you go when you need help in your soul? Where do you go when you're depressed? Where do you want to go when things aren't going well? Where do you want to go when things need to be changed? Where do you want to go for those things? Well, we can get into ourselves for sure. We can try to change things ourselves. We can do all those kind of things. But it's what it's like. It's like getting up in those early hours of the morning when there's no direction. And instead of looking up into the sky to where God has placed a directional point, just go clubbing through the brush. Just go wandering in a direction you don't know where you're at. And maybe spend the whole day without any understanding of where anything's at or where I'm at, wandering around. You know, many people wander around in life like that, and they never look up and see that there's something there for a direction. Well, there is a direction point that the day star. Peter said there that we heard something. This was something. Jesus testified to something. Still, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That star was a testimony that my son was born. That was a testimony. Here is your hope of all salvation. My son is born. This is a testimony. He said therein that they heard the voice of God the Father. He said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Follow him. Pursue him. He's got the answers. He's everything that you need in this life. There's the answer. And it's arisen. And it still shines. I say, spiritually speaking, you and I have the same access to Christ that the wise men had. We have the same access that Peter had. and Paul had, we have the same access. The star is still shining. There is a direction for you and I always to go, that the Lord will lead us and help us into these times. Another scripture over in Revelations. Oh, I think 22nd chapter of Revelations is what I want. This is Jesus' words, right at the last part of the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He said of himself, I am your direction point. I am still shining. I'm still shining. I have arisen to shine. And I will shine into your lives. And look, you know what? The whole world. What a mess our world is. I mean, come on. What a mess our world is. People are so, I mean, we're starting to live in a time that I feel like is fulfilling prophecy on a number of accounts. But the idea that people are going so far out on these kind of things, that's just, they're actually debating, and I can know what the argument is. They're actually debating to whether men can have babies or not. It isn't as dumb as, it's probably dumber than it sounds, but it's, they're saying that people that are actually biological women that think they're a man inside. Do you know what I'm saying? The whole transgender. I want to state right here, I love everybody. I think that's a deception of the devil. I love everybody and everybody's soul, and I want the best for everybody. The debate of whether there's liberty to think those kind of things and stuff can happen in a secular, natural country like ours. But they don't change spiritual things. What a place our country, our thinking, even the simple things of solid stated truth. God made them male and female. You'll never change it. God did it. And it's what it is, and it's obviously what it is, and it will forever be that. But and all the things that's going on, I want to say with all of that stuff, it can get depressing. Thank God there is a star shining yet. But I want to say there still is one. It's just that people ain't looking up to it. To say, this stuff, I'm going to try to find a fulfillment. What do you think, honestly? Don't look hard at them. Don't hate people like that. What are people trying to do but satisfy their life? Make their life happy. What are they trying to do? Why would you do something so radical and so hideous as those kind of things if you're not trying to pursue a happiness? Of course you are. But you're trying to find some fulfillment, of course. I'm just telling you, and it's not in all that stuff. He made a star to shine that stated, here I am. Here I am, and I can lead you to this place of fulfillment in your life and blessings in your life. And it isn't this isn't just a ticket for the show here. This is the eternal ticket. This goes satisfying here and leave out of here forever to be satisfied. It's something that goes on and on and on. And Jesus testified of himself, I am the morning star. I am the point of your directions and needs. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.